Turning your Bibles to Luke. Looks like Luke's going to get worn out today and this week. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen, previous to me for your messages. And a joy to be here today. The Lord told me 3 or 4 weeks ago what to preach on, and I hadn't even asked him about it. It's amazing. Kind of like a wife, isn't it? Holy Spirit living inside of you, telling you what to do all the time. Amen. You're supposed to laugh. Now, come on. You can laugh. Couple were driving down a country road, and for several miles they weren't saying anything because they'd had an earlier discussion, led to an argument. They passed by a barnyard of mules, goats, and pigs, and the husband asked sarcastically to his wife, "Relatives of yours?" She said, "Yep, in-laws." Man said to his wife one day, "I don't know how you can be so stupid and beautiful at the same time." The wife responded, "Allow me to explain. God made me beautiful so you'd be attracted to me. And he made me stupid so I'd be attracted to you." Now, Brother Arthur, you got to sit in your seat, all right? You resemble that. Mark was a loving husband, but he forgot the wedding anniversary. Lord help us when we do that. His wife was ticked off. And she told him, "Tomorrow morning I expect to find a gift in the driveway. And it better go from 0 to 200 in under 6 seconds. It better be there." The next morning, Mark got up early and he left. A couple hours later, she got up and looked in the driveway, and sure enough, there was a small gift wrap package in the driveway. She was mystified. She got her robe on, went out there and got it, brought it in, put it on the kitchen counter and unwrapped it. And in that box was a new bathroom scale. You blondes will get that in a little bit. Mark is not well enough to have visitors yet. And the bathroom scale doesn't work anymore. You've been sitting a long time. Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, would you stand with me, please? Luke 23, verse 32. I'm going to read a verse and then ask you to read with me. Verse 32, Luke 23. "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death." Ready? "And when they were come to the place which was called Calvary, they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they parted his raiment and cast lots together. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God.' And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar together, and saying, 'If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself.'" Let me just stop. Are you listening to each other read that? Isn't it beautiful? Word of Amen. God. Amen? Amen? The inspired, infallible, preserved Word of God. Amen. Amen. Verse 38. "And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, Hebrew, 'This is the King of the Jews.' Together, one of the malefactors came and railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art the same condemnation?' Together, and we need justice, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Together,
and Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that they shall be with me in paradise.
This was about the sixth hour. There was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Together, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple rent from the middle. Aren't you glad it was rent?
Yes.
We have access. We have access to the throne room of God, holiest God, to the holiest sight in all the universe. Thank God it's rent. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of things I'd love to preach on today. I'd love to preach on prayer. God answers my prayers. I'd love to preach on the Holy Spirit fullness. I'd love to preach on soul winning. I'd love to preach on money. My middle name is Money. It's supposed to be funny. I'm confident that the pulpits of America are robbed by the members of churches that don't tithe.
Amen.
They're robbed of the Spirit of God, the power of God, just as Achan robbed the entire tribe of Israel. Joshua 6 and 7, just as all of the universe was robbed when Adam and Eve took what belonged to God. Hello?
Yes.
Just as when Belshazzar took the holy things, used them for an ungodly purpose, we can't take what's holy unto God and use it for an ungodly purpose and expect the pulpit to have the power of God on it. Some new teaching to some of you. That's what I preach. Verse 46, and I'll read the next few verses. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Our text is in verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and on the other on the left. Heavenly Father, in this time that allotted to me, help me to be a blessing to these people. Help us to take a little look at Calvary in a way that maybe it's not been looked at before. Help us to be encouraged, I pray. Go forward in the work of God until death do us part. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank and be seated. The word Calvary appears only one time in the Bible. Book of Luke, Luke being the author of Acts, some say wrote more of the Bible than the Apostle Paul did. I've never counted all the words, and if you have, God bless you. I don't know how to use a computer to check all that out, and if you do, God bless you. But I've been to Calvary. I've been there two different ways. I went to Calvary in 1950 as a bus kid. Walked the aisle. I was sitting seven rows back, Lachlan Baptist Church, Lachlan, Ohio, the year before Dr. John Rawlings took that great church. And I received Christ as my personal Savior. I've been to Calvary. Amen?
Amen.
Never doubted my salvation. And I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been to Calvary on a trip to the Promised Land. Hope you all get to go somewhere sometime and get to see the skull there. But today, a little bit about Calvary. Only mentioned here in the Bible, Jesus Christ had been beaten and spit upon and a crown of thorns driven into his head. He laughed at and mocked and scourged. And his visage was so marred that he did not look like a man. Oh, he paid a price on that Calvary. The heavier price, though, was not the beating. The heavier price was your sins and your sins and my sins on him. The heavier price was the sins of the whole world, multiplied billions of people, paying that price for you and for me, and paying that price for the 6.5 billion people on this globe. 4 billion of them, we understand, have never heard one time a clear presentation of the gospel. It ought to make us want to knock on doors. It ought to make us want to give all we've got to mission. It all ought to make us want to send this young man wherever he went right here. Thank you for your message, sir. I wrote it all down. And I ought to make us want to go out there. Sidonia, did you say? And what a beautiful place in Sidonia. I'd like to live a little north of there, but it's cooler a little north of there. But at least put $20 in his pocket while we're here. At least say, hey, I'll talk to my deacons about taking you on and all the other missionaries that are here today. Oh, listen, Calvary paid the price for us all. Aren't you glad that it did? Amen. Three crosses on Calvary. Two malefactors or thieves, if you please. The one on the left-hand side railed upon Jesus. He said, if thou be the Christ, come down from there. Oh, listen, no picture shows anything any closer to a man being able to go to heaven than this picture of a man who was so close to Christ, the Savior of the world, and still died and went to hell. Amen? Oh, listen, a man on the right side, he accepted Christ as Savior, and Jesus said, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. I was preaching Sunday in Bessemer City, North Carolina. I preach more in your state than any other state. Most of you have never heard my name. But I love North Carolina. I honeymooned in North Carolina. And there's a good story about that. My wife and I were going home after the honeymoon early in the morning. She learned early on to go to sleep while I was driving, because she said, if I'm going to heaven, while you're driving, I want to go in my sleep. Amen. And she was facing the passenger window, and they're just getting daylight out, the heavy mist on the mountain. But down come the mountain came a bear. I stopped to watch that bear. That bear walked right up to her window and put his nose on her window. Well, I didn't want to frighten her, but I thought she'd love to see a bear, so I woke her up. And that's why her hair stands straight up still today. Oh, listen today. I'm so glad that on Sunday morning when I gave the invitation, a dear white-haired lady sitting back over here where this gentleman is got up out of her pew. I believe a member of the church, been attending there several years, never had received Jesus Christ as Savior, and she got saved. Amen? I'm so glad that the five others got saved on Sunday morning. We were checking out of the hotel, and the Holy Spirit said, witness to the desk clerk. Now, Monday mornings, after preaching three times on Sunday, I don't feel very good. Mondays aren't a very good day for me, and so don't come around me till I've had at least 39 cups of coffee. Amen. And Vicky was behind the desk. I loaded the car, sat down in the car. I hadn't witnessed to her yet, and the Holy Spirit said, idiot, get out of the car. God talk to you that way, does he? Yeah. If you know God, he talks to you. What about this side? If you know God, he talks to you by the Holy Spirit of God. I love it. I love it. I don't ever have to question what to do. All I got to do is ask him. Amen? I went back inside. I handed Vicky a tract. I said, this will tell you how to know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You'd like to know that, wouldn't you? She said, I sure would. I sure would. Isn't that wonderful? I said, Vicky, give me a little time, and I'll tell you how to know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. I use a pictorial tract. Pictures are worth 1,000 words. That's what Charles Haddon Spurgeon said. And so I gave her verses about sin, and there's a picture there of coming short of the glory of God. And I gave her verses about hell and the price of sin, and there's a picture there of hell and the person in it. And I gave her verses about Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary and hanging on that cross, and there are verses there about it. And I gave her a picture of receiving Jesus Christ and verses about that. I said, Vicky, if Jesus would take you just the way you are, that's the way he takes everybody, just as I am. Forgive your sins. Everybody wants their sins forgiven. I believe there are no atheists in the world. I believe there are people out there that don't know what to do with their sin. Half of the atheists I deal with get saved. I just say, give me 20 minutes. If you don't want what Jesus got, that's fine. We'll part friends. And many of them will give you 20 minutes. Don't run from atheist agnostic folks. They just don't know what to do with their sin. They don't know what to do with their sin. You listen to me. And it wasn't long until Vicky got saved. I had to wait while she handled different customers. I'm used to that. I've got saved people behind counters and hotels all over America and all over the world, very frankly. And I thank God for that. And she got saved, amen? Amen. Thank God she did. But that's what Calvary's all about. Amen. This morning we'd like to look at the word Calvary and the letters of Calvary as an acrostic for just a little bit. You preachers probably ought to write it down. Number one, Calvary, the letter C, condescension. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ condescended to become a man. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death, even to the death of the cross. Thank God that he did, ladies and gentlemen. Without him coming and becoming a man, and without coming, him coming and taking our sins and his body on the cross, without the resurrection, folks, we'd be going to hell. Amen. Oh, listen, thank God he came. He came voluntarily. He took on the form of a man. He was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Ladies and gentlemen, when we had discouraged along the way, why don't we take a look at Calvary? None of us have died on Calvary. None of us have been beaten so we didn't act like a man. Oh, when things get hard going, when we have sickness in our life, when we have financial problems, when we have marital problems, let's take a look at Calvary, folks, and look what Jesus Christ did for you and did for me. Amen. Oh, Calvary. C-A, anger. Oh, listen, anger. God's anger at sin and man's anger at God. Oh, God is angry about sin. Oh, I'm afraid for our wicked country today. I'm afraid for the sodomite country we have today. Oh, listen, God's angry at sin. Don't you know the earthquakes are caused by God? Don't you know the volcano going off is caused by God? Oh, listen, there isn't anything that happens on this globe that is not caused or allowed by God. Nothing, 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 nothing. Oh, listen to me. If God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he's going to destroy this place if we, you and I don't get on our knees. It's not preaching that'll bring revival.
That's right, brother. Praise God.
It is not preaching that'll bring revival. You can't prove that from this book.
Amen.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Oh, not lay me down to sleep. When's the last time you fasted? When's the last time you fasted and prayed? Got quiet in here.
Amen.
When's the last time you fasted 3 or 4 days or 7 days or 10 days? Don't take that longer fast unless you're used to fasting a day a week. But I want to tell you something. Till we get humbled in ourselves and get on our face, ladies and gentlemen, nothing's going to happen on this globe.
Yes, right.
Amen.
Right.
I got three with me.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, today, Calvary. Oh, listen, a place of anger. God's anger, angry about sin. And men are angry at God. I never seen a time when people were so angry at God. Listen today. They're angry at God because of their sin. They don't know how to handle their sin. I was in a restaurant in Michigan with my cousin, his wife, and my wife. The waitress was there, and I handed her a tract. I said, this will tell you how to know for sure. If you died today, you'd go to heaven. I never ask them if they know for sure. I tell them, this will tell you how you can know for sure. If you died today, you'd go to heaven. You'd like to know that, wouldn't you? I never ask them, would you like to know that? At least 50% say no. Hello. I taught soul winning 17 years at Hiles Anderson College. We've been known as easy believers, but I want to tell you something. I don't believe in easy believism. Amen. I believe in divine appointments. Vicki was a divine appointment first thing Monday morning. You're very quiet. If God sets them up, folks, they're going to get saved. I called the pastor and gave Vicki's name and where she was working and all of that. This dear waitress in Michigan, she said, God's left me. I looked her in the eye and I said, that's because your daddy left you when you were a young person. She broke down and wept and said, how in the world did you know? And I talked to her about Christ. And it wasn't long until she got saved standing there with her tray in her hand. And praise God. And she got into church and sent me an email that she had gotten into church. I ate there at the same place a month or so later. She came up to me and said, Brother Smith, how are you doing today? I was surprised that she remembered who I was. She said, do you know I'm going to church regular and faithful?
Amen.
A divine appointment. When's the last time you gentlemen and ladies prayed for a divine appointment?
Good.
somebody to put right, that God put right in front of your path. And if he puts them in front of your path, they're going to get saved. Amen. They'll get saved. Oh, listen, people are angry at God because of their sin. I got to hurry. Calvary, C-A-L, a place of love. Nothing like Calvary for love. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I preached Sunday morning a week ago in Greensboro, your state, North Carolina, and 17 people got up out of their seat and came forward and received Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Amen and amen. Amen. Preacher took me out to eat, and there was a waiter waiting on us, and sounds fancy, doesn't it, for somebody that, you know, brings us food. And he was standing there with his tray. He's a tall man. He had his tray up here like this. And it's about, we're about ready to leave. I handed him a tract. I said, there's something you can do for me. I'd like to give you this. This will tell you how to know for sure. If you died today, you'd go to heaven. You'd like to know that, wouldn't you? He said, I sure would. He stood there for 20 solid minutes with his tray in his hand. I can't even hold one level 1 minute. 20 solid minutes. I thought he was the Statue of Liberty. And he bowed his head and he got saved. Oh, Calvary's a place of love. It was a place of love when you got saved. It was a place of love when you got saved. It's a place of love when you got saved. It's a place of love when you got saved. And it's a place of love no matter what's going on in your life today. You're short on money, it's a place of love. If you have financial problems, it's a place of love. If you have physical problems, it's a place of love. If you have faith difficulties with your churches, it's a place of love. Don't you flee to Calvary, folks, when you have things that are going on in your life. Some elderly preacher one day said, Larry, he said, when you have your trouble in your church, Dr. Bill Dowell, whom I worked for 4 years in Springfield, Missouri, he said, just preach on Calvary till it goes away. Amen. They're either going to go away because they can't stand Calvary, or are the problems going to go away because they come to Calvary, one or the other. Amen. Oh, place of love. God's love is shown, and he came to us to offer the love gift that he had, his son. Calvary, I must hurry. C-A-L, however you spell that. Calvary, C-A-L-V-A-R-Y. Calvary, a place of victory. A place of victory. Jesus' victory over Satan there. Jesus is victor over him in all causes of life, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what you're going through. When I was laying on the bed in 1973 and couldn't walk, I was reading the Bible. I read in James 5. If any sick among you, call for the elders. I believe what the Bible said. Amen. I want to say something to you. All of us believe God can. Not many of us believe God will. All of us believe God can. But you know, you're no better than the devils. The devils believe and tremble. Listen to me. Very few of us believe God will. And the day that you believe God will do something in your life, God will do it. I was convinced reading James 5 that God would heal me. And I called for the preacher. It was quiet on the other end of the line. I could tell perhaps he had never anointed anybody with oil in his life. But he came and he brought a deacon with him. If you're a deacon, you ever hear anybody wag their tongue against your pastor, you better give them a tongue lashing they have never heard before in all their life. If you're a deacon's wife and you pick up the phone and it's a negative about anybody in the church family, you better give them a tongue wagging they ever heard in all their life. You ought to rip them off, rip their face off. They leave the church better than them staying in the church.
Amen.
Hello. You let them have it. Great pastor here. You better believe that your pastor is the greatest pastor in all the world.
Amen.
Hold him up to God.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Pastor's been here forever and eternity. Average pastor only stays 3 years. You hold your pastor up to God and his family. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Calvary, place of victory. You pastors and full-time workers here, missionaries here, Calvary is a place of victory for you. You need to keep looking at Calvary. It's victory there every day. You get up in the morning and take a look at Calvary. You go to bed at night, the last thing you do, don't listen to the news. You watch Calvary for a little while. You pick up your Bible and read about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Calvary, a wonderful place. Oh, listen, I was preaching in India in 2005. And I didn't want to come back with an evangelistic report of how many got saved, meaning a liar report. So I got out there and counted all the chairs under the big tent we were in. And there were 2,500 chairs. I preached that night. And God came down, and 1,200 Indians got up out of their seats and came forward in mass to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. I said to those people at the end of my invitation, before I had them come forward, I said, every one of you is empty right here. You have nothing right here. You worship monkeys because you're trying to fill this right here. You worship gorillas because you're trying to fill this right here. You worship cows because you're trying to fill this right here. And I said, you worship everything there is out there. You worship snakes because you're trying to fill this void right here. And there's only one thing that'll fill that void, the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. The only place you're going to find victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1,200 of those people, people who worship 10,000 different kinds of gods out there, they got up out of their seat in mass and came forward and receive Christ. I thank God that they did. Whoso is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory, even our faith. 1 John 5:4, and thank God, amen. Next, Calvary. C-A-V-A, however you spell it, it's a place of atonement and reconciliation. A place of atonement and reconciliation. Atonement, what's that mean? At one moment. But we're made one with the Son of God, and we're made one in each other. Oh, dear friend, when we take Jesus Christ, we're reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're reconciled to the Heavenly Father up there. Listen to me. I'm so glad that in October in 1950, my sins were paid for as I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I was reconciled to my Savior and to the Father because of my sin. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the bus workers that knocked on my door. I'm a bus kid.
Yes.
60 years later. I'm glad that the bus worker came to 59B Gorman Lane. Knocked on my door. You see, I was the poor bus kid. I remember vivid 1947, I believe, or thereabouts. Thanksgiving time. Thanksgiving basket for the Smith family. You that work with children in junior church, you love those children.
Yes, sir.
You that work with children in Sunday school, you love those children. You that knock on doors for the bus ministry, you love those children. You that drive that bus, keep on driving that bus, you love those children. You that to get a CDL and don't have one, you ought to go out and get one. I drove a bus for 25 solid years. You get out there. There's a place of reconciliation and atonement for those children out there and for their parents. Don't be afraid of the parents.
Amen.
Calvary covers it all. I wish I could sing. Oh, I wish I could. Last Calvary, C-A-L-V-A-R-Y, a place for you. A place for you, ladies and gentlemen. How long since you meditated on Calvary? How long since you took your burden to Calvary? How long since you laid your burden at Calvary and left it there? How long since you had faith in the Savior who paid it all, that He'd take care of whatever it is going on with you. I was laying on the bed in 1994. I didn't finish the first one. God healed my back, and I got up and walked out of the hospital.
Amen.
73. 1994, I had kidney disease. No one thought I'd live. I never doubted I'd live.
Amen.
There's a difference between believing God can and believing God will. You saturate your life with good old King James Bible, inspired, preserved.
Amen.
And you'll begin to believe that God will. Senior pastor from the church, first one there. He didn't tell me then, but when God lifted me up off that bed, by the way, I carry the same disease still, but the kidneys work. Isn't that something?
Amen.
He said, Brother Smith, I didn't believe for a second you'd ever come out of that hospital. My Jewish kidney doctor, when God lifted me up off that bed, said, he did. He did. My GP didn't think I'd come out. Nurses from the church didn't think I'd come out. But I did.
Amen.
He did.
Amen.
Would you look at Calvary? All the price paid there, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what you're going through, but he does. Would you take your burden to Calvary? And would you leave it there? Would you leave it there? Father, bless what's been said to thy God.